The world beats.
These are the sounds that keep it spinning.
The continuing story of today's global music.
Welcome to World Beat Canada.
Here's an idea. After you schedule that daily half-hour workout to rock hard abs, book another 30 minutes with your head in a book. According to the latest from Slate, less than 50% of us have read one book in the past year. And educators are worried that...
SF Radio 9.1 FM, broadcasting...
You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
Hey, 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 everyone. You're listening to CJSF Radio 9.1 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territories of the Coast Salish people, including the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Coquitlam, and Katsi nations. Unceded means that these lands have never been surrounded, sold, or given up by these nations, and we're currently situated on occupied territories. With that in mind, welcome to Open Mic, everybody. My name is Iago, and it's a pleasure to be back with you today. I used to have my Open Mic on Tuesdays. Now we are set for Thursdays, and thank you so much for having turned in into this Open Mic. And here are why coffee's prices are set to spike. Today, the conversation is going to be about how coffee prices are higher than ever and what it means for your cup. Coffee gains on below normal Brazil rain and Brazilian real strength. Good morning, coffee lovers. So, whether you sip, savor, or absolutely can't start your day without it, coffee is a ritual for so many Canadians. But let's face it, the beloved Brill is becoming way too pricey. I don't know if everyone here has noticed, but your wallet fee is lighter than ever after each cafe visit or grocery run. And you're definitely not imagining things. Over the past few years, the cost of coffee has skyrocketed by more than 20%. We're looking at days where a coffee cup used to cost only $2, if not less. So what's brewing in the coffee world that's driving up these prices? So today, I have an interview with someone who knows coffee inside and out, Marco Aurelio. He's an R grader certificated by the Coffee Quality Institute and works in quality control for specialty coffees at Sucafina. And Marco will help us decode some of the coffee market, understanding why prices are spiking, some factors like export costs, climate change, and how specialty coffee trade are impacting Canadians and their morning cup. So stay tuned. Thank you so much. This segment will definitely teach you a lot about coffee. I am a coffee specialist and I've learned so much with him while recording. This is a pre-recorded interview from Brazil and I hope you all enjoy. Thank you so much. Here's the interview for you. But before jumping straight into this coffee talk and a lot of details about the coffee markets, let's talk a little bit before music. I'll be playing for you Lightning Bolt and I hope you enjoy.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Every morning I just wake up and I just wash my face. Go downstairs and make my breakfast, coffee and some bacon and eggs. And everyone want you, I want you, I want you so bad. Everyone's asking me why.
Thank you so much for following this conversation. Thank you for being here with me, Marco.
Thank you, Iago. How are you?
Oh,
all good.
Yeah, today's it's been a day.
Yeah.
We're in Brazil right now, and
super hot here. We're in the middle of the summer, so.
But thank God, a lot of rain.
Yeah, thank God, because we spent like the whole winter without rain. So difficult this for coffees and everything, but now we have rain. We have some perspective to grow our production, so let's see how it's going on right now.
Yeah, I've heard so far, I mean, being outside of Brazil, I've heard things from my family, but in the news of Canada, I follow like how everything was burning, the forest on fire, because of how hot and how dry everything was. So it's a good thing that it is raining, and I think, I don't know, I see the thunderstorms outside,
yeah,
and I'm so happy.
Totally different, like between June, July, August was a lot of dry, a lot of flames, you know.
So, first of all, I was just wondering if you'd like to present more about yourself, like your interest on coffee, who are you, what you liked besides coffee.
I started in specialty coffee and coffee in general 5-6 years ago in BSCA, Brazilian Specialty Coffee Association. So, thanks God, all my career in coffee is in specialty. Sometimes we have to cup some commodities, but not that much. Then I went to Sucafina specialty only, and I passed through association, so we have to make the promotion of specialty coffee. Then I went to exporter. I changed completely my mind about coffee in general and prices and what is coffee, what is the business. And since I started in specialty coffee, I fell in love by Caneferas, the Robusta. And I don't know why I made this. First of all, because you have one flow. It's like, okay, I need my Q Arabica grader, and then I will get my Q Robusta. But I made my Q Robusta, first of all, and then I went to Q Arabica. And this gave to me a new perspective of how you need to understand coffee and what is a good coffee and what is a bad coffee, and how you now my career is going to become a trader. I work now in quality and coffee purchase, but I want to be a trader, be quality and trader, because quality is my thing. And that's it.
And do you have any reason for like joining the coffee area specifically? Anything that you've mentioned a little bit before earlier with me about your grandfather and
yeah,
his farm? Is there anything connected to that?
Kind of, because when I started in coffee, I never thought I would be working coffee. But when I started, I was like, oh, okay, now I can't leave this world. Was not because of my grandpa, but he have an influence on this. but was more because I needed the job, you know.
Sure.
I needed the job and, okay, Zen Coffee, do you know anything about coffee? Yeah, sure. I know a few things because of my grandpa, but not like that much. And then I learned everything I know in 6 years.
It's a good timing.
Yeah.
I've been talking to you and you've learned so much so far.
And now I help my grandpa and I help him to sell his coffees, understand what coffees he produce and everything. So it's good. It's nice because one thing lead to another and now the whole family is like, okay, Marco can help us. Let's do this.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I've never thought I would like or understand the coffee world. I thought it was just about the money. But I think when you start, first of all, it's so cool to see the different kinds, the specialty coffees, the micro loads, and everything else. And when you have the chance of helping someone to better their production, to sell it, It's a good feeling, right?
Yeah, it's a good feeling. It's like my last boss always say to me, when the coffee bug picks you, you can't leave. And it's exactly like this.
Yeah. And just thinking about this, I think we've started about saying a lot of words that people might not know. So, for example, when you're talking about the key grader, it basically means that you need to set like quality control and then you can taste the different types of coffee, right?
Yeah, exactly. Being a Q grader, it's more like a quality grader. So you know, we have the flavor wheel and we understand what we have in coffee, like acidity, body, aftertaste, a lot of attributes, because coffee is more complex than wine and everything everyone thinks. Wine is the most complex thing in the world. And when you understand coffee, you see it's more than that. So you need a person who will be in charge of guarantee this quality for all the consumers, you know?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Besides, even though I never tasted wine myself, but I know it's like a lot of people appreciate and they don't actually understand that their coffee has the same quality management like behind it, and then you can look for better or worse coffees, right?
Exactly. Like we have everyone thinks in wine and let me feel the aroma and everything. In coffee, you have the same thing. And it's a test in Q grader. You need to know what is in this coffee by the aroma. So yeah, it's difficult.
That's a hard test then.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Have you passed like first time?
In this one, yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Been practicing a lot. So just going a little bit further on what are specialty coffees. When I moved to Canada, I noticed that we have here really good coffees. I mean, if you go to a supermarket in Brazil, you're gonna find the worst, most terrible things that are like so dark that you like, I don't know even why, like it seems like a tire when you open the package.
Yeah,
because of how like intense and strong
you need to burn the coffee, because what we buy here in Brazil is what we call low grades. So we have a lot of defects, a lot of foreign matters, a lot of things. It's not coffee, you know?
Yeah, like, green beans, like wood sticks in the middle of it, stones.
And Brazil regulation, they allow the companies to put 1% of whatever is not coffee in your roastery, you know? So the worst part is in Brazil. Like we are the large producer and we have the worst coffee. Of course, we have some companies made some good coffees, they buy some good coffees to sell to the final consumer, but like in general, it's low grades.
And I think that a lot of people here don't understand this as well. As we were saying before, like, people in Canada might not know they consume good coffee, and in Brazil, they don't know they consume really bad coffee, right?
Yeah, in Canada and most of the countries we export is all good coffees. It's like what we call fine cup. It's the best thing we have in commodity. It's fine cup and always large beans, like screen 17, 18. So it's like really large coffees. So it's good to roast. You don't burn this, like, only if you want, but you don't burn this by mistake.
Yeah.
Like low grades, you can burn by mistake. And here in Brazil, they burn because they want,
intentionally
hide the defect. But like, this is more technical, but we sell fine cup, screen 17, 18, New York 2/3. What is this? Fine cup, it's a quality below specialty. It's like almost a specialty, but so good, you know. And screen, it's the size of the bean. So screen 17, 18 is the size. It's a big size of the bean. And New York 2/3 is the count of defect. So this allowed to export at least 12 and to 16 defects. And what is this defect? This defect. It's not black beans, not foreign matter, not what we call primary defects. Only secondary. It's only like broken, chipped cut, parchment. No, five grains is equal one defect. It's green. Yeah, green, broken, and what we call shell. Because it's a large bean, then...
Still coffee.
It's still coffee, but he broke inside. It's difficult to explain.
Yeah, no.
But broke inside, so this is a defect. So it's totally different from here in Brazil. Because here, most of the people drink black beans, woods. Let me see another...
Even stones sometimes, right?
Yeah, even stones. Even stones. So it's a large difference between what we export and what we actually drink here in Brazil.
And especially considering that, as you said, we export for countries such as Canada, fine cups and specialty coffees.
Yeah.
We are on a scale above 80 points, right?
Yeah.
When we're looking at that, do you think that this influences the price? Because we've been seeing a pricing rise, and considering the harvest of last year, how does that affect?
Sure, like, we usually export screen 17, 18, right? So in this last crop, what we saw was we don't have screen 17, 18. It's very rare to us to purchase and then to export. So this become the prices of the coffee even higher. So we need to repass this discussed. And what we made was trying to export screen 16 up, more 16, because it's what we have more here in Brazil in this crop. So, and when you think about fine cup and specialty, commodity and specialty. Specialty coffees are always more pricier than commodity. And the reason is because SCA, as you know, the people know about SCA.
Or I don't think so.
Okay. SCA is Specialty Coffee Association. So it's the institution that built, and we need to follow the rules about specialty coffee. He built the flavor wheel and everything we know, the green grading for specialty coffee and everything. So specialty coffee, it's all the coffees with the score 80 plus. This the conception of specialty coffee is this. N is not allowed more than 5 secondary defects. This is specialty coffee. When you go to search for these coffees in internal market here in Brazil, they are more expensive than commodity.
What is more expensive? Are we looking at like $500 every 60 kilos, like around $2,300?
Yeah.
Okay.
More like this. Like today I made a purchase, is $2,000.
So around $400.
Yeah.
$400, yeah. Like a little bit more, $450. It's just Canadian dollars,
yeah.
Cheaper than American. So.
Yeah, so when you see, it's totally different of how you purchase commodities.
Mm-hmm.
So most reason of specialty coffees being like this, being more expensive in internal market, and we have to repass this cost in exporters to importer, and the importer repass to the final consumer.
So if you allow me just to make a summary what we've been discussing so far, we're looking at a really a harder coffee to produce,
yeah.
That's produced in lower quantity, that had a really hard time last year being produced, and because of that the prices rise, of course, less more demand, less quantity, we have a higher price.
Exactly.
So we're looking at that for last year with a lower production than expected, right?
Exactly.
And about that, when we're looking for the future, like, do you have any insights about what's coming next?
Well, now with the rainfall, now with the rains, we expect more and larger beans. But what we can see, it's more like, this crop will be lower than this next crop will be lower than the last one. So if we can estimate this crop for 24-25, we had 42 million tons of coffee. And what we can see and estimate for this new crop, 25-26, it's around 39-40 million tons. So yeah, in this case we will have the screens, but we will not have the same amount of coffee.
Okay.
So the price can be in the same thing, but
also because we depend on a few other factors yet, right?
Exactly. And in this case we have New York, the market. We operate in New York,
mm-hmm.
The market, New York. And in the last 2 months, the levels are super high. One of the reasons is because of the rain, and the other reason is because we don't know if we will have the same amount of coffee.
Okay.
So
does the dollar influence as well, the price?
Sure. A lot. And we have here in Brazil, we see the dollar
spiking up, right?
Spiking like 6.10, 6.20.
So increasing in about one real more than last
yeah.
year. So that
one real more.
So that means we have a higher demand because it buys more, and that also means less quantity to be offered.
I think the prices for the final consumer will be the same. But for us as an exporter, I think the prices will be okay to purchase and then export. Like, okay, the farmer can sell to us lower than 2,000, and we can sell like maximum 2,000 reais, something like this. I think for the next year, the prices will maintain like this last year, but only for the final consumer.
Okay.
For the exporter and importer, will be a little cheaper, but not so much. It's like something between $100, something like this. So for us in Brazil, will be cheaper, but for importers, maybe will still the same. So that's the reason.
Okay.
For the final consumers will be.
But just to confirm, we're talking after the increase, because I think most companies like Nestle are still, and Melita, they are still increasing as of January, right?
Yeah.
So after this final increase, then it should remain the same, because
exactly.
If not, people stop consuming coffee.
I talked this when we'll start the crop, like between May and June, then we will see will maintain. That's
okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think that just maybe heading up to the final talk. We've mentioned so far lots of factors that influence the final price. But like, what specific about the weather last year do you think that impacted the most? It was the dry. Was there anything else in specific that you see that's been happening more?
The dry, because we spent like 4 or 5 months without any rain here in Brazil. I mean, not whole Brazil, because Brazil is
a large country.
Yeah. But specifically here in Minas Gerais, where is the like the principal producer in Brazil of coffee. So the principal coffee producer here in Brazil is Minas Gerais, so we spent 5 months without rain, and this affect a lot in the plant.
But I think that what is interesting about that as well is that the same happened in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So we have like Robusta being double the price that it was. I think that it almost reached like Arabica last year, right?
Yeah.
So we have like something that was used to be way cheaper that some people use like mixing and making more quantity of coffee.
This is a nice thing, because when you see the increase of Robusta, a lot of people wants to understand what is a Robusta. So this creates in the producer a certain concern to produce quality. So, okay, I will sell this, but all the people want quality. We live in a world right now, it's specialty coffee is becoming more and more attractive to people. So if you sell low grades or anything else, you don't have public. If you sell whatever, just a coffee here, some people will say to you, come on, this is not coffee. So we see the quality increasing year by year. And this is good, because Vietnam, for the last year, I saw good qualities in Vietnam Robustas, what is totally different, because when I started in coffee 5 years ago, all the time I cupped Vietnam Robustas was totally awful.
Yeah, but everyone used to say that Robustas are not good coffee,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
There's this widespread notion that Arabic, 100% Arabica is what we need.
Yeah, exactly. And this, I think in 5 years or more, but not in the very long future, the Robusta will change. And I think the principal reason is because of that. It's because the pricing has been so high. And if you buy this, like, okay, I will buy this Robusta, but I want quality. And if you don't deliver quality to the importer or the final consumer, they will say to you, okay, I don't want this anymore. So this provide in this,